I want you to look in Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. Verse number 18. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. I'm just going to read this one verse of Scripture this morning, and then as God may so continue to lead, we may read more of this chapter tonight in context of that verse. And there's a lot of things said in this chapter, and we probably are more familiar with the fact that says, wives, submit yourselves than we are anything else in it. But this chapter has got some great truths that we need. Somebody was kidding me the other day, yesterday in fact, about maybe I ought to preach on that this morning. Wives, being silent in church. But I don't see Lisa White here. She's in the nursery, I think. So no use in preaching. I hope she heard that. But we're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. And I pray that God would help us today. Something that's on my heart that I feel is very needful. And pray that God will speak to us and help us together and give us strength. And I pray the power of God would work in our hearts to make it real to us. Listen to what the Word of God says. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now notice, if you will, in that verse, please, that he's telling us a negative, not to be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, that's the Word of God telling us to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want you to bow your heads and let's pray. Then we'll try to at least begin a message and pray God will speak to our hearts together. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege that we have today to be in the house of God, hear the songs of Zion. I appreciate the choir, appreciate the special singing. And Lord, surely our redemption draweth nigh. And soon be that we'll be getting out of here and be home with you. And I pray until then, help us to occupy till you come and stay busy about your business. And Father, I pray for revival. I pray, God, that you'd stir us. I pray in our churches across America, preaching the Word of God, that you'd give us revival and stir our hearts, then reach out in our country. Lord, how we need help. And I pray and plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and plead for your power to work and ask you, God, to have your way here today. Now, Father, I know that we will be opposed by the subject matter that we have. The devil will certainly fight against that, but I'm thankful for thy word that says that he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. I praise your name, God, for the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and ask in Jesus' name to make it real to our hearts. Give me that divine touch. I pray clarity of thought and speech that I may say and preach in the power of God as you'd have us to do so. And Father, then speak to our people. I pray for those that are here that need help, encouragement, strength. Those that need convicting, I pray you convict. Those that need to get saved and born in the family of God, speak to their heart. I plead the blood, Jesus, today. And I pray in Jesus' name and for his glory that you'd have your way. Magnify yourself. And get all the glory and the praise. In his name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. For a couple of services I have mentioned on Sunday nights about the church and have been concerned about the church and dealing with that and some things I said on last week, and I'm concerned that we be the church God wants us to be. And that our churches today, that we have real revival. We need revival today in our churches. And revival starts in our own personal heart, own personal lives. It doesn't come because somebody, we ourselves must hunger for it and desire that God give us real revival. I titled the message today, and I'll not get finished it today, but I pray if God will help me get back into it tonight, if God lets us stay here and the rapture doesn't take place and we get back. But here's the thought that I have. The greatest need of the churches today. The greatest need of the churches today. You could say, well, our greatest need is we need greater preaching. That's not true. You can say we need greater, and even if I'm doing the preaching, that's not true. If we need greater Sunday school teachers, that's not true. That's not the greatest need. The greatest need is not better choirs. The greatest need is not better musicians. That's not the greatest need we have. In fact, the greatest need is not more people coming to church. That's not the greatest need that we have. The greatest need is not that we need more money. That's not the greatest need that we have. The greatest need is not that we need more missionaries. That is not the greatest need that we have. The greatest need that we have is the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in our midst. That's the greatest need of the church. That's the greatest need of my life. That's the greatest need of your life. And that certainly is the greatest need of this church. I approach this subject very humbly because I realize the fact that I myself need God to help me to be filled with the Spirit of God. I recognize the fact that much of the time I'm not. And you'd have to admit the same thing, I think, if you're honest with yourselves. And we somehow have looked at this verse and thinking that being filled with the Spirit of God is just for certain people. It's just for certain times. But I want you to know the Bible here is saying to us to be filled. He didn't say it, be filled on Sunday morning or Sunday night, or be filled if you're preaching, or to be filled if you're teaching a class, or to be filled if you're doing some singing. He simply said to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I believe he meant what he said. We don't need more programs. Somebody, in fact, is Brother Waters the other night, he and I was talking about it, and I was talking about somebody just recently about the church, not this church particularly, but church in general, and the need of churches and what we need. And some Brother Waters tell me about one time he went in to see Dr. Harold B. Seitler when he pastored at Tabernacle. He's on with the Lord now, but a great man of God, did a great work, and said he invited me into his office, and I sat down. And I asked him, Dr. Seitler, how do you build a church? He said, Dr. Seitler kind of rubbed his chin like this and said, son, I don't know. Said, all I can tell you is preach. Preach, love people and preach. And he didn't say, you know, get this program or that program. And we receive in the mail all the time different things from different people, how to promote this, how to promote that, what we need today and how we need to do it and what would help people to come and what would make our churches greater churches and all this stuff, and it is stuff. But I'm telling you, what we really need is more power of God in our lives. We have a blessed word of God. We have the truth of God. We have God's word. It's been preserved for us to have. I say thank God for that. And we have a place to come to worship. Thank God for that. And I praise his name that he has saved us by his marvelous grace and that the church is here. But I want you to know the greatest need we have is the power of the Holy Ghost of God working in my heart, in your heart. And when that's true, he'll be working in the church. And he said he'd meet with us, and he said he lives within us. So we'll get to some of that as we go. But I just want to emphasize the fact, if you leave out of the building today and you don't get anything else I say, I want you to leave out with that thought in your mind. I want it embedded there that, and in your heart, that the greatest need that we have is the power of God in our lives. That's the greatest need we have. And so without that, we can do nothing. No matter what we teach or preach, or no matter what programs we have or what kind of singing, if the power of the Holy Ghost does not work in the service, we're missing what we really need to get. I'll not preach right. You'll not hear it right. And there'll not be anything right unless the Holy Spirit of God has free run and right away to have his way, and that we do not quench him nor grieve him. Amen. And the Bible says do not grieve him nor quench him. And we do that so much of the time. You know, many times we sit in church and we're thinking, well, I wish a preacher would hurry up.
I'm hungry. I want to go to wherever it is you're going. And then you may be sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to go see somebody this afternoon and we need to do that. Or you're thinking there thinking about the bills I've got to pay, or something's coming in, you know, or I got a family problem, I got a situation, I got something I got to think about. All that may be true and probably is in many lives. But let me say to you today, we need the presence of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. We need to have our minds and our hearts set on the fact that we have come to worship a true and a living God. We did not come to be seen, neither did we come to be heard. I want you to hear me preach, but we didn't come for that purpose. We come to worship God. Amen. My preaching may be stuttering and stammering and fail, but if you come to worship God, God will have something in it that will help you. It doesn't make any, it don't have to be a polished preacher to get something from it. It does not have to be a certain kind of wild preaching to get something from it. It doesn't have to be whatever singing to get something from it. It simply has to be that we have come, and we've come in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we've come in the power of the Holy Spirit and meet and want Him to have His way. And if He has His way, everything else will be all right. If I'll be submissive unto Him, if I'll just let Him do what He wants to do, then everything else will fall in place. You say, preacher, and the devil will tell me, well, so-and-so's here, you need to preach on this, or you need to get this because they need that. I tell you what's the truth. I don't know what you need, but the one that I preach about, He knows what you need. The one that moves in my heart, He knows what you need. And I could preach a message on salvation and never touch on being out of the will of God and somebody out of the will of God get under Holy Ghost conviction. I could preach on being out of the will of God and somebody's lost get under conviction. I found out a long time ago, I don't need to figure it out. I need to let God work. I need God more than I need anything else in the world. I just need the Holy Ghost to move, hover over this place, and let Him do what He wants to do. If that happens, we'll be okay, and we'll leave out having received what we need to receive. You today and I today need that. I'm hungry. I need something from God. I got a thirst down inside. I need God to meet with me. I need His presence more than ever before. I sense beyond a shadow of a doubt that our God wants to do something. I sense that God is in this place. I sense today that God is working in this. And we have a great need, our churches today. And God, help us to realize it. We are the church. If you're saved, you're part of the church. And that need is the presence and the working and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so you see today, we have got so accustomed to, and the world has so programmed us, and education has so come along, and that we got everything figured out, how it's supposed to be done and how we ought to do it, and that we can do this and get it together, and we can put together this outline or that outline, and we can have it just right, and we can be ready, all that stuff, and boy, it'd be good. And somebody said, boy, that's good. And that's not important. What's really important is we got God's message, have something God's got for us, and I believe today I've got something God's got for us. I know God's got something for me today. Because I need it, Brother Bill. I need God. I need God. I need help. I need God to move and stir and God to have His way. And whichever way we go with this today, I really don't make any difference to me. I just want to be here in a place where God wants me, doing what God wants me to do, and that God, the Holy Ghost, will work in your heart and do something in your life. And when you leave out of here, you'll not leave out like you came in. But because God was here, and because God met with us, and because God did something in our hearts, and we will leave out saying, God is good, and God has worked in my heart. I came to worship God. I heard from God, and I'm leaving with more of God working in my life than when I came. If we have that, we have been to church. We have worshiped God. We have met with Him and He with us. And that's our heart's desire. That's our prayer today. And whatever God wants to do, I want to see Him do it. There's people in this house today that need to repent. These people here today need to come and get right with God. These folk that need to get saved. These people that need something special working in their hearts and their life need to reach a place where they just give up and say, it's not me anymore, it's God, and give it all to God. But that doesn't happen unless there's convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. That doesn't happen because a man preaches or because we come together and we say we're having church. That doesn't happen just because you got here, I got here. It happens because God does something special in hearts and lives. And I'm thinking right now things I'd love to see and things I'd like to see happen, but I know it's out of my control. It's something beyond my means. I cannot. Fact is, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so I just realized that fact. I can't do a thing without him. And so if I can't do anything without him, then I don't need to worry about your individual situation, because I can't do anything about your individual situation. Only God can do that. But I would love to see God do something about it. I'd love to see God help me, God help you, God help all of us. And we may leave out knowing that God met with us and that we met together and we had a time. And God blessed, amen. And whatever that is, we might worship God in spirit and in truth. And we need that so desperately today. In contrast today, let me say this. He's using, be not drunk with wine, we're in excess now. He used that word excess. He's not saying it's all right to drink a little bit. He's simply saying, I'm using a contrast here. I want you to see this, or you can contrast it, or what is in common with it. Either way you want to look at this, but I want to see the contrast first, and we'll look at the similarities of it. But here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm talking about a man that's unsaved, and he's drunk to excess. And that is, he's a drunkard. He is drunk. Now, everybody in this house has seen somebody drunk. And you've been around somebody that's drunk, and you realize the fact that it's altogether different than when they're sober, when they're drunk. Is that not true? And so he wants you to see that similarity to this being filled with the Spirit of God. And you've heard me mention this and we've talked about it, but somehow today it's taken on new meaning to me that here in contrast, the man that's drunk and the excess, and he don't know what he's doing, he's under the power of something that's not inherent in himself. And it's of the devil. It's evil. Amen. But on the other hand, that man that's filled the Holy Spirit of God, it's not evil and it's of God. That's a vast difference than being of holy one and being of the evil one, the devil himself. And then that one that's drunk in excess, he's hurting himself. He's hurt himself. He's hurting himself. It's doing harm to him. And then that and that's filled with the Spirit of God. It's not hurting him. It's helping him. He's got some help he didn't have. And then that one that's drunk, that says he's hurting other people. There's children today that are mistreated because of a drunk dad or a drunk mom. It's not just daddies that get drunk. Moms get drunk and drink beer. You say, preach, I'll drink beer if I want to. You can do what you want to do, but I tell you right now, it's evil, it's of the devil, and you're hurting yourself and you're hurting other people around you. But that one that's filled with God, he's not hurting himself and he's not hurting anybody around him. Hey, something about him that's filled with God, that makes a difference when he talks to people. It makes a difference when he walks in a room. It makes a difference when he's just around somewhere. When he's there, when he's filled with the Spirit of God, amen. There's a vast difference, you see, in this. And I'm saying to you today, friend, what a contrast that is. I'd rather be of God. I'd rather be good for people. I'd rather help somebody. I'd rather be a blessing. And then that one that's drunk to excess, he doesn't give God any glory. God gets no worship out of that. He gets no pleasure out of that. It displeases God. He hates sin. It displeases God, brings shame and disgrace to the person that's doing it. But over here is a man that's filled with the Spirit of God. It brings glory to God. And God gets worshiped. And because you can't worship except in spirit and truth. And God gets glory out of it and praise out of it. I say hallelujah. I'd rather identify with this one that's filled with the Spirit of God than this one that's not filled with the Spirit of God. Then the similarity, let me say this, that one is filled with drink and he's drunk and he's in excess of being drunk. He don't know what he's doing. He's under that power of another. And he's liable to cuss, and he's liable to strip off his clothes, or he's liable to go places and do things and say things that disgrace him. He wouldn't do otherwise if he's in his right mind. His mind being controlled by another, and he's doing things and that's ungodly and unclean. And if a devil ever lies, and he will, and young people, he'll lie to you and tell you that drinking beers, all right, or taking the social drinks, all right. He's a liar and the father of it. Amen. He hates it. When it's fermented, he hates it. It's wrong. And here's a man filled with God. And he's controlled by another power. There's something inside of him that controls his mind. That this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And that can't be if the Holy Ghost doesn't fill you and help you, because this old flesh, he'll be coming up and it'll be in the way and there'll be something hindering you. But I'm glad today, thank God, we can be filled with the Spirit of God. And there'll be something about that that'll control our thinking. And we'll do things that we wouldn't do otherwise. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad under that control of the Holy Ghost. He's liable to meet somebody out there, and you maybe get talking to them and say, are you saved? And you just start talking to them, and they be something about you that person might be mean as a devil. They might drink liquor and cuss like a sailor. And I guess sailors cuss, but anyway, there's an old saying, but you know what I mean. They may be all kind of ungodly feel. But ain't something about that man feel with the Holy Ghost. When he's talking to them, that they calm down. And I've gone into places where he's a cussing and carrying on. And I'd say something to somebody, and they'd find out she's a preacher, or at least you knew God. And all of a sudden it stopped. All of a sudden some of the cussing slowed down. And I know people don't have much respect anymore, but I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God's there, I've been around when it didn't affect much. But I also have to confess, I've been around when I wasn't filled either. I didn't have much of God around me. Wasn't much of God to be exposed to him to see. But I'm telling you, I'm saying to you today, when you feel the Spirit of God, there's something about you that the world can't take, and the world don't know how to handle it. And they got an awesome wonder about it. And you can start talking and it makes a difference, amen. And they'll hear you. They may not accept Christ, but they'll hear. They'll hear what you got to say. And they'll give some note to some of the meanest, some of the most low-downest people I've ever met in my life have listened the best to the witness of the gospel that I've ever tried to give out. You know why? Because God was in it. Holy Ghost was in it. Amen. Aren't you glad under the power of another? And fact is, if I had my way this morning when I was sitting over there, I'd have went out that door right there. And you wouldn't have seen me up here this morning. Because I wasn't myself. I felt that littleness. I felt that insufficiency. I felt that something in me that, preacher, what in the world are you doing up here? You need to get somewhere else. You can't preach and you can't do anything. But there's something down inside of me. Hey, something down inside began to ring. And the Holy Ghost began to move. And God said, I got a message I want delivered. I want you in the pulpit. I need you. I know God can do without me now. God can pick up somebody else he wanted to use along the way and put them up here and let them preach. But God said, I want you today in the pulpit. And that's all I could do was say, yes, sir. When I got up here, I want you to know there's something else got up here with me. Amen. It wasn't me by myself. And God help us when we're up here by ourselves, because it's a lonely place to be. It's a bad place to be without him. But boy, when he's with you, hallelujah. And when you're trying to walk with God and you're trying to witness, you're trying to live your daily life, you're trying to work on the job and you're trying to be a testimony for God, you remember this, he that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. And if you'll let him help you, he'll do something for you. I got to want to go and preach to you, and I'm just trying to tell you something God got in my heart. I'm just trying to help you. I just want you to know he, the Holy Ghost of God, is the one that does the work. He's the one that has to do it down deep inside. And deep down inside of you, right, even right now, hey, something happening. Hey, some of you sitting there and you know there's something wrong. You say, ain't something wrong with me. That preacher's preaching and ain't something, I'd like to get out. I'd like to get away from this because hey, something down inside is eating at me and I don't feel right and I don't feel good. And I know that I'm in a mess and I need help, but I don't want God to do anything for me. And I'm uncomfortable. And I like it when people get uncomfortable. It bothers me when unsaved go out and say, I enjoyed the preaching. I don't want them to enjoy the preaching. I realize that they may be thankful for it, and I realize they may thought it was good preaching. I guess I'm glad for that part of it, but I really want them to get it under conviction where they can go out right miserable if they don't get saved and be in a miserable shape. I remember Dr. Larry Brown. Larry Brown from down in Augusta talking about when he got under conviction and he got in the car, tried to get a cigarette out and said he puts the whole pack in his mouth and lit the whole thing. Of course, that might be ecclesiastically preaching, I don't know. But he's talking about getting under real conviction. I don't see people get under real conviction. I want the Holy Ghost to really do something. I want God to really get a hold of your heart. And you're sitting there and you know things are not right. You know you don't really live for God. And you know that your life's not what it ought to be for God, and it's less than what God wants it to be. And if you did what God really wanted you to do, you'd weep and cry out and run to the altar even right now and say, God, help me. I need some help. I need God to do something for me. I long to see that. We somehow have been so geared that a preacher's got to get to a certain place, a song leader's got to get up, and we got to have an invitation. I want the Holy Ghost to get so real and work so hard that people get to the altar and get something right with God when the preacher's preaching. Amen. I'm glad anybody wants to come and pray while I'm preaching. Amen. We need to get out of this thing that everything has to be so-so. I want it to get so real that God, the Holy Ghost, just works in hearts and people get under conviction. Say, I need something. I need help. I'm going to hell and I need God to help me. Why don't we have that? Because you and I that are saved are not filled with the Spirit of God. If everybody that's really saved in this house came in the house of God, filled with the Spirit of God, you talk about power of God working. Why, unsaved couldn't walk through the door without being under Holy Ghost conviction. They'd run to an altar to get saved. They'd cry out, oh God, I need some help. Amen. It wouldn't be just a little old flivver of something happening. It'd be God doing something. And I'm saying to you today, friend, I want to see God do it. I want to see God, the Holy Ghost, get on it and move in the hearts until it gets so real. You can't stand yourself. And you can't live without God. And you can't take it anymore. People come in and go out and don't seem to bother them. I want you to know today, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If God, the Holy Ghost, is speaking to your heart, you ought to obey what God's saying. and come. Amen. These folk are coming and praying. Some may be getting something right with God. I don't know what they're doing. I just know some folk are praying. I know this. I know there's something happening around here this morning. I know God's in it, Brother Tim. I know God's doing something in their hearts. And that's all I care. That's all I want is for God to do something. I ain't got even a first point yet in the message. I thought about preaching, but what I'm preaching to you is out of the heart of my soul. There's something that God wants us to have. There's something that God wants to do that you and I need to be willing and open to let God have his way. God may not want you to come to an altar. God may not want you to do anything like that, but he may. And if he does, don't quench him, please. Don't say no to him. Don't grieve him. As he, the Holy Ghost, works. And you know why? You know why we don't have old time confession meetings? People getting right with God. People getting right with each other. Going to somebody saying, I've talked about you. I've said something. I've done something. I want you to forgive me. You know why we don't see any more of that than we see? Because we don't have no more God than we got. We just operate in our own energy and our own power. And we come in, don't let God, the Holy Ghost, do what he wants to do. And then we miss what God's got for us. But oh, if we come in, and God's got something for us, and he's a working, and he's a moving in our hearts, then we can respond to that. And we can say, God, it's me. I need some help. Lord, I may later in preaching this message, God will let me preach it someday. We may get to it, that what it takes to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I'm telling you today, friend, it'll start out with us seeing ourselves in need of something. It'll start out in our, if we never see we need anything, we'll never get anything. God doesn't help those. If we're filled with everything else, he's sure not going to fill us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you got a, I got a cup here, it's got water in it. And it doesn't have anything but water, clean cup with water. But if it's full of rocks, it wouldn't hold near as much water. If it's full of dirt, it wouldn't hold as much water. But it holds that kind of water because it's an empty cup and clean. I'm saying to you today, God, the Holy Ghost, wanting to do something for you. I need some lady to help Miss Betty. Some lady help Miss Betty. I don't know where she needs to come, bow, sit on the front pew, whatever she needs to do. Somebody just be with her. Some of you ladies love God. Just help her. I don't know what her need is, anything about it. But you, today, God's speaking to your heart. God dealing for your life. God doing something for you. God said, be not drunk with wine where excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I know I'm rattled here today, but I've shared my heart. I give you everything I got in my heart. We sometimes come in on Sunday morning, we got so much of everything else in us, we can't get God. We're so wrapped up in everything else that we miss God altogether. But we just come in and say, God, we need you. We need the Holy Spirit of God to work in our hearts, our lives. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want these folks just keep on praying. Pray to get through praying. But you're here today and God's speaking to your heart. God's saying something to you. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking. Nobody. You'd like to slip your hand up. I want to ask you this. How many of you know you're saved? You know you're saved. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know that you're saved. Thank God for that. Now, not thank you, thank you. But not everybody could raise your hand. Not everybody can know you're saved. You say, preacher, I think I am. I hope I am. That's not good enough. That'll not get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is for you to know that you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you ask Him to save you and trust Him. Today, the Holy Spirit of God is working in hearts. He's doing something in your heart. And He's knocking there and saying, let me in. You're saying, I don't want to go to the altar. I don't want to do that. That's a devil lying to you. Why don't you come and let Jesus Christ become real? Why don't you come and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Help me. Then you're here today and your life has grown cold. It doesn't have any joy. It doesn't have any real truth to it. There ain't no real substance to it for God. And nothing God's really doing in your life. And you'd like to come and find your place and say, oh, God, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Play, please. You need to come pray. You come on. I feel like I've done what God wanted me to do this morning. Just asking God. God's doing something for you. People are praying over the house. But you know you need to come. Trust Jesus. I believe there's still some folk in the house God's speaking to, God dealing with. I'm not trying to make you do something, because if the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, it won't do any good. But God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to your heart. He's dealing with your life. There's some things need to get straightened out. God's saying, come. God's saying, come. You just obey God.